The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along. The new season begins right here with William Hill, the first weekend of the Premier League season. And it's Dave Kellner here in the studio alongside Mr. Lee Phelps.
Hello.
Hello.
You are?
And I'm very well, thank you. How are you, sir?
That's right, I'm interrupting you.
I was going to come on to the formalities in due course.
We'll do that in a minute.
We'll do that in a second. I'm very well, thank you, though, Lee. And joined by another Lee from footyaccumulators.com, Lee Struggs joins us on this week's Punt Podcast. Good afternoon, Lee.
Good afternoon, you all right, guys?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
I'm concerned about something.
Go on.
How are you going to cope with two people called Lee on one podcast?
That took up most of the prep time. I know nothing about the games this week. I was just thinking, how will I ever cope? And I've decided to go with Lee.
Can I be Kingpin?
No, you can't be Kingpin. Lee, just to fill you in, Lee from footyaccumulators.com. This Lee sat next to me, Phelps. He won at bowling. We had a big internal William Hill night out.
And all right, so he's a bowling king, is he?
We've found his talent. It's taken us a while, but we've finally located his talent. And
I'm also pretty good at ice skating.
Are you
I
really?
Know it's hard to believe, but every time I go ice skating with my daughters, I'm good at it, just naturally good at it.
I don't believe you.
Okay, that's fine. So I'm Lee and he's Kingpin, yeah?
Yeah.
That's it. We'll stick with that throughout this podcast.
I hope this sticks now. I'll have to change my Twitter address to @Kingpin.
Yeah, at Kingpin, that's great. It's a good address.
I like it.
Lee, as we go through the games, we'll get your best bets and Kingpin's best bets here. And we'll start off with Man United versus Swansea, which is the season opener, 12:45 PM kickoff on Saturday afternoon. Manchester United 4-11, the draw 7-2, Swansea in the betting at 8-1. Lee.
Kingpin.
Yeah, Kingpin, sorry. Manchester United have some injury problems. They've got everyone's favourite Gurner, Phil Jones, he's available. The Jaeger Bomber, Chris Smalling, will likely join him as part of that three-pronged central defensive partnership. But they are going to be susceptible in that area. Luke Shaw's out. I don't know if you've seen it on Twitter, but Raymond Verheyen, everybody loves Raymond.
Yes.
And he's doing his nut about Louis Van Gaal's
training methods.
Training methods.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you wouldn't believe it, no, would you? But he is. And Luke Shaw's out for the foreseeable future, Kingpin. And that leaves Manchester United light at the back.
Yeah, and I think that is going to be their problem throughout the season, isn't it? Until Louis Van Gaal strengthens in that position. I don't think it'll be a big problem for them this game, though, because I think they'll fly out of the blocks here. I think, you know, the Old Trafford crowd will be just won't be able to wait for this new era to start after last year. I've said before on one of the previous podcasts, I think last year will be remembered, you know, as a bit of a nightmare for Man United fans, but I don't think it'll do them any harm in the long run. I think that it'll be a season that they can look back on and think they've just kind of, you know, they've cleaned out the board, you know, the end of the Ferguson era, all right, the Moyes thing, and now they can get back on it. I think they'll come out absolutely flying. I think Rooney, buoyed by the captaincy, the fact that, you know, he looks about 12 in terms of his weight now. He's been scoring pre-season, of course. Must be very, very confident and ready to go. I think they'll just outscore Swansea. Even if Swansea get one, I think they'll outscore them. Man United quirkily beat them 4-1 on the opening day of last season at the Liberty. I think we'll see something similar. I'd be looking straight away at a Manchester United -1 in the handicap. I think Man United will win by at least two clear goals. I like Rooney to score. The price isn't great. 100-30 for Rooney to be the opening goal scorer of the Premier League this season. 4-1 for him to score and Man United to win. It's a bit skinny for a first goal scorer price, isn't it, when anything can happen?
Yeah.
But I do like him to score. I think he'll just be... I'm looking for to see how Van Gaal plays him. I mean, hopefully he just plays him straight up the middle and lets him be a striker. But yeah, anytime, Rooney 10-11.
Man United -1 also 10-11. Which is the better bet out of those two?
I like the handicap one better. You have to rely on it, obviously, on a goal scorer. So yeah, I think United will win comfortably with a bit in hand.
Man United never lost on the opening weekend at Old Trafford in the Premier League. And rumour has it that Arturo Vidal is close to agreeing personal terms with the club as well, Kingpin.
Really? This is an interesting rumour, isn't it, that seems to be doing the rounds week in, week out. This vision of him, you know, playing for another team midway through the season, and you'll still be saying that there's a rumour that he's coming to Man United.
Maybe so. Maybe that is the case. We'll see as the season progresses. Mm. Lee, Man United have never lost on the opening weekend at Old Trafford in the Premier League. They've won 8 and drawn 3. Swansea seem to be below their best in pre-season. They only won 3 away matches in 16 away from home at the end of the Premier League season last year.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with the thoughts that you said before. Like, I think United will win tomorrow, definitely. Obviously, 4-11 is quite a short price. I'd look at half-time, full-time. Maybe both teams score a win. Looks a good bet for me because I can't, with that United defence, obviously, is like their main weakness. I can't see them keeping many clean sheets this season until they get some people in. And last year, they were really susceptible to conceding at set pieces and that sort of thing. So I do think they'll win, but I think it could be a 3-1 or a 4-1, similar to last season, to be honest. That's a good bet for me. Like, I think half-time, full-time, definitely a good bet. Like you said, I think they're going to come flying out of the blocks underneath the whole Van Gaal new era and all that stuff. And then I just think Swansea going to get a goal. I can see him scoring, to be honest. Like, I can't see United keeping a clean sheet with the back four they've got, with Shaw out and Johnny Evans out and all the people that they've got injured. Like, it's a young, inexperienced back four, basically. But for me, that's why I think they'll concede.
Yeah, one of the Swansea signings aren't amazing, but Sigurdsson, I think, is a very good signing. I think he fits Swansea really well, and I could see him, if anyone's going to get a goal for Swansea, I could see maybe it coming from a set piece, maybe Sigurdsson's set piece, or, you know, from him anyway. I think he is a very good signing. Obviously, like, losing Michu is a major blow. It's going to be interesting to see how they get on. They've also signed Gomez, haven't they, from Ligue 1, but, you know, I think from what I can tell, he's done his best work as, like, you know, part of a front two. Not prolific by any stretch. And Swansea have never really played with the front two. I can't imagine them playing two up front at Old Trafford on opening day.
No.
So I'm not sure how he'll play. If he plays as a target man, I'm not overly convinced. So, yeah, I mean, I can see them scoring just because of that. I mean, you know, the defence is pretty ropey anyway.
Yeah, Manchester United to win the match and both teams to score in the betting at 9-4. A couple of headline offers available on this match as well, with William Hill, Wayne Rooney to score and Man United to win, which goes back to Kingpin, a bet that you were.
Yeah.
That's not going to stick. 5-4, Wayne Rooney to score and Man United to win, and Wilfred Bony to score and Swansea to win in the betting at 20-1.
Little one, if you're watching this live on BT Sport and Rooney happens to get two, they'll mention, I'm going to ruin it for you, they'll mention that he's equaled Thierry Henry's record of top scoring Premier League player in history, won't they? 175, 173 at the minute.
Indeed.
Tremendous record.
Isn't that the third best ever in the Premier League season?
Yeah.
Arsenal versus Crystal Palace is next up. This is the tea time kickoff on Saturday evening. Arsenal 1-4, the draw 9-2, Crystal Palace in the betting at 11-1. Lee, Tony Pulis is gone. It's good to see insider trading is dead, because the FA pre-season all about, we won't have this anymore. No more insider trading. We won't see any major moves in the market. Graham Sharp, one of our PR boys, make him sound 15 years old. He's
director of PR. Hi, Graham.
Paper round.
40s into 6-4. That was the move in the few hours before Pulis announced that he was leaving Crystal Palace. 40s into 6-4 before the market suspended. The rumour mill already in overdrive as far as who's going to replace him. Tim Sherwood has been mentioned as a possible replacement. If Pulis leaving Palace wasn't enough reason for their fans to despair, the thought of Tim Sherwood going in there definitely is.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't get further different from them two, because you've got someone like Pulis who's, like, solid at the back, hard-working teams. You've got someone like Tim Sherwood who not really got much, like, tactics behind his teams, have it? It's more a case of go out there and play nine strikers, isn't it, with him?
A little bit like that. Arsenal finished the season well, Lee, with 5 straight wins. Arsene Wenger's bolstered the squad. The addition of Alexis Sanchez looks good. And they look very strong in their Community Shield win against Manchester City as well.
Yeah, they did, yeah. I can't see anything other than an Arsenal win tomorrow, obviously, especially with what's happened with Pulis leaving. I think it's going to be a pretty straightforward win for Arsenal. Probably go 2-0, to be honest. 2-3-0. That would be my bet for that game. Obviously, like, it's whether they're going to play. The only place where I'd say Arsenal lack a little bit would be another striker, other than Giroud and Sonogo. But when you've got someone like Sanchez, who can act as a striker, he can score goals, I don't think they're going to have any problem scoring goals. And when players like Walcott are coming back fit as well, I think they're going to have a massive attacking threat this year. And they've almost got too many good midfielders, haven't they, really?
Yeah.
They've probably got like nine or ten.
Amazing,
isn't it? Amazing. Yes, like, you think you've got Ramsey, Wilshere, Ozil, Chamberlain, Walcott, Cazorla. There's just stacks of quality in that team. It's just, yeah, it's basically, it's a striker for them, really, isn't it? And I think Giroud started the season really well last year, didn't he? Like, I remember the first 10, 12 games Arsenal was top of the league, weren't they, at Christmas?
Yeah, and he scored a lot at home. I think it was a long while before he actually got an away goal. That stat was kicking around. Yeah. So he loves playing at the Emirates as well.
Yeah, he obviously scored a great goal last week against Man City, didn't he, off the bench. So that's going to build his confidence. But yeah, I think an easy Arsenal win tomorrow for me for that game, especially with Pulis having gone and stuff like that. My bet would be half-time, full-time Arsenal to win 2-0.
Arsenal to win 2-0, by the way, in the betting at 5-1. Arsenal to win 3-0 in the market at 13-2. And if you do fancy Arsenal to be leading at half-time and to go on and win the match, that's available as well in the double result market. By the way, if you fancy Arsenal to win the first half and Arsenal to win the second half, that's 8-5. That could be a decent bet as well. 4-5 odds on Arsenal to win, to be leading at half time and win the match in the double result market. Kingpin next. What is next for Crystal Palace now? First time they've ever survived a season in the Premier League last season, and now the architect for that survival, Tony Pulis, gone.
Yeah, and to be honest, even before Tony Pulis had gone, I thought they'd struggle this season. I think I said, you know, I might have said last week when we were doing the relegation kind of preview that there's only so long you can lie to your players about how good they are, and I think that was wearing thin with Palace. You know, I just think that, you know, that they're not a great side. They scored the third fewest goals in the Premier League last season. The two who scored fewer went down. They haven't strengthened up front. They brought in Fraser Campbell. You know, he doesn't score enough goals at the Premier League level. Glenn Murray's obviously fit to play this season. He played 14 games last year before his cruciate went, and he scored one goal in 14. So the jury's out whether he can make the transition from the Championship up to the Premier League. Shamak, not prolific by any stretch. Dwight Gayle, not prolific. So they haven't, you know, Tony Pulis is right. They haven't spent the money to stay in the Premier League, in my opinion. I thought they would. The 2-0 scoreline, it was 2-0 in this game last season, and it took Arsenal till the second half to open the scoring. But they were fighting for their lives then. It was in February. And obviously, you know, determination and organisation and trying to, you know, scrap and get points. They won't have that. Even with Pulis in charge, I don't think they'd have that. I think, you know, they're almost, they're in danger of believing their own hype after finishing so high up the table. I think Arsenal, the half-time, full-time Arsenal looks great. I'd be looking, you know, even at Arsenal to score over 1.5 goals in the first half. I think they'll start quick and they'll get goals. My only worry with a 2-0 is that Arsenal will be so pumped. If they get too early or one early, they could get more. I like Ramsey to score. I think he's overpriced, for the way he plays. It's same as Giroud, wasn't it, Lee? You know, he started last season brilliantly after a great pre-season, had a great pre-season again, scored in the Community Shield. I like that. Ramsey, you know, I think everything's been shortened a little bit now. 6-4, it was bigger than that, actually. It was 7-4 to score any time before that. But Ramsey to score in an Arsenal win is 7-4 now, which does seem a bit skinny, but I think they're going to win this in a bit of a cakewalk.
It is a little bit of a myth that Tony Pulis is this amazing manager that does everything on a shoestring budget, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's maybe why the Palace hierarchy were a bit worried, because the stat is something like, you know, he spent, the net spend was the highest outside of Liverpool, Man City and Chelsea in his spell at Stoke. But he kept them in the Premier League. It depends what you want. Do you want to stay in the Premier League? We'll spend some money. If you don't, then take that risk and, you know, play with Championship players and suffer second season syndrome. I think they're going down. They've been clipped into 2-1 to go down now. And I think they're going to struggle unless they spend money. But you never know. They'll probably bring someone else in and then spend loads of money, won't they? That's what normally happens in these situations. Like, you know, David Moyes must be looking at Everton thinking, hang on a minute.
You can't imagine that, though, can they? I mean, Everton have taken a big punt on Romelu Lukaku, haven't they? Yeah, but yeah. I can't imagine now the Palace board doing a complete U-turn and allowing the next manager to spend cash. That would be strange. Complete madness.
Arsenal minus a goal is 4-5.
Yes,
which isn't too short for me for a clear 2-goal win. Arsenal minus 2 goals is 9-4. For the ones who like safety first, I'd be looking at that 4-5 Arsenal minus a goal, and for the minus two, maybe a little bit more adventurous.
Live TV matches on Sunday afternoon up next. Liverpool versus Southampton is a 1:30 p.m. kickoff. At Liverpool 1-3, the draw 4-1 Southampton. In the betting at 8-1, it had to be, didn't it? Southampton A versus Southampton B to start the season. Kingpin. Adam Lallana out, but Dejan Lovren and Ricky Lambert could both feature for Liverpool. Interestingly enough, Southampton beat Liverpool 1-0 at Anfield in the Premier League this season, or last season. But Ronald Koeman... pre-season has tweeted a picture of an empty football pitch with the caption "set for training, ready to go." So he's clearly disillusioned with all the departures.
Yeah, amazing, really, isn't it? And you would be, wouldn't you? I mean, it's such a shame to see a club do so well and then be ripped apart like that. But you know, that's the way of the world. Southampton, you know, one of the few teams to actually keep Liverpool to nil. In fact, I think there's only them and Chelsea who did it in the end, who actually nilled Liverpool at Anfield last season. But you can't really look at that because they're such a different team now. It's going to be really interesting to see how Southampton go. I mean, you know. They have lost all those players, but you know he has brought in Pelle, who he knows well from Feyenoord, who scored goals in the Eredivisie. I know the Eredivisie can be a little bit sometimes. You know, Suarez is probably the only player who's really come on from there and replicated the kind of scoring form that we've seen. You know what that he's done in Holland, but you shouldn't make a mistake with a player that you know, and he obviously knows him pretty well. This player, they have got other good players still in the side. But again, you'd imagine that Liverpool, with that home support roaring out the blocks, the fans just desperate for them to see Liverpool do what they did with Suarez, but without him. I see Liverpool winning. I'm not sure how easy it will be for them. Raheem Sterling's looked fantastic pre-season, by the way. Again, for a goal scorer bet, I wouldn't put anyone off. Not the biggest price in the world, 23-20. You know, a lot of skinny prices about the scorers for these top four sides. Probably looking at the handicap again. I mean, I'm probably going to look at a Man United, Arsenal, Liverpool minus one handicap. I can see them all winning, you know, by two clear goals.
Yes.
Whether it's 2-0 or 3-1 or whatever it is, I can see another comfortable win. It's just going into the unknown a little bit, like we were with Tottenham last year, aren't we? We don't quite know how this team's going to gel. Having seen them against Dortmund, who then went and beat Bayern Munich, it looks pretty good form, doesn't it? If you know, in racing pilots, yeah. They've franked the form there a little bit, haven't they?
I think, Lee, the way they're going to set up, they'll try and play like Rodgers wants them to. Brendan Rodgers wants them to play and press high up the field, and that's what they did against Dortmund. They harassed them early on in that match, and really that set the tone. And I expect them to do the same against Southampton on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, his teams play with such high intensity from the start, which I think was massive with Liverpool season last year. Like, they just get into his faces straight away, and I think that's going to be the case at the weekend. The one bet I do like with Liverpool is they tend to score goals early in the game, and that I'm not sure if there's a bet that for them to be leading in the first 30 minutes or for them to be winning at half time or something like that, because they tend, last year especially, they tend to just come out and destroy teams in the first 20 minutes, whereas like they don't ever have that sort of spell where they can't break through, or it's nil-nil cagey game that you were getting with teams like United and sometimes Chelsea last year. You just didn't seem to get that with Liverpool. And like you said, with Sterling, he's looked really good in pre-season. I'd like to get a bet on him, definitely, to score at some point tomorrow. Coutinho as well is probably a good bet any time, but I'll be looking at the handicap, half-time, full-time, them sort of bets for me.
Liverpool to score in the first 15 minutes of the match, 11-4 here with William Hill.
And yeah, I really like that bet.
You mentioned Raheem Sterling to score any time. That's in the betting at 23-20. Philip Coutinho to score any time in the market at 6-4.
The other way of playing that, of course, is you got your 15-minute, 30-minute, 60-minute betting. So Liverpool to be leading at 15 minutes is 3-1.
Yeah.
Which effectively is, you know, unless you have an absolutely crazy start to the match.
You'd think it's almost the same bet.
Yeah. Liverpool to be leading at 30 minutes is 13-10.
Yeah, they did tend to start well last season, Liverpool. So.
And the other thing is, you know, they conceded a lot of goals last year, remember, Liverpool. So you would imagine that one of the key focuses this time is, if they can't replace the Suarez goals, is to keep more out at the other end. They don't have to put as much pressure on themselves to score as many up front. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Brendan Rodgers has approached that, and has if he's solved that problem of this defence, you know, defence leaking so many goals last season.
Headline offers here: Raheem Sterling to score and Liverpool to win in the betting at 9-4, and Graziano Pella to score and Southampton to win, which is in the market at 14-1. The 4 p.m. kickoff on Sunday afternoon is Newcastle versus Manchester City. Newcastle 4-1, the draw 11-4. Manchester City in the betting at 4-6. And Lee, this is a reverse of last season's opener, which Man City won 4-0 at the Etihad. They did look well short of match fitness against Arsenal, but you'd imagine this is going to be a completely different team.
Yeah, I mean, the squad that they've got is amazing. So, isn't it? Obviously, it's a bit of an unexpected result last week in the Community Shield. But I expect them to bounce back with a win here. Definitely, I know. Like, in the past, it's been a tough place to go, isn't it, in St James's Park? But I just feel like Newcastle. I just don't think they're going to have a good season this year. I don't know. The fans aren't massively behind Pardew still, are they?
No.
And it's just a case of, like, they just sign a couple of players from France and sell their key players. They've sold Debussy, haven't they, as well? Yeah. I can see Man City winning this game, definitely.
Manchester City to win the match is 4-6. Go on, Lee.
Yeah, so 4-6 probably a little bit short for me, but I can definitely see Man City winning this game. It's interesting with their striking options. I know Aguero's out, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah,
but will they be playing Zeko up front, or Jovetic, or both of them, or will they play one up front?
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what team they play, because, you know, Pellegrini kind of came out after the Community Shield and intimated that a lot of the World Cup stars won't play for, maybe not play for 15 days, which, you know, would take him through to the second, you know, the into the second week of the season. I mean, in the team news that we've got now, it looks like it'll be Jovetic and Dzeko up front, which should be pretty tasty, isn't it, even without Aguero. You know, Dzeko played pretty
goals.
Well, yeah, still goals in there, isn't there?
Still goals. I think what they've done, which is quite clever, is obviously because they've not maybe brought in that big marquee signing like a Costa or a Fabregas or something like that, they've offered their big players to, like, their Vincent Kompany's and their David Silva's new contracts this week, which will give the fans a boost and give, like, the whole club a boost, I think. And that was a good thing they did this week that will take the heat away from the fact that they lost the Community Shield 3-0.
Yeah, I mean, I think the players that they have brought in, I think it's quite noticeable when you look down the list of players they've brought in. You know, they're all defensive players. You know, there's centre backs and defensive midfielders, and, you know, and so on and so forth. There's not many who are attacking players. I think that's obviously where they've thought. I think with an eye on the Champions League, that they need to strengthen. They need to have more strength in depth for the Champions League in a defensive capacity. Because I think the biggest thing that you can look out for in this match is whether Vincent Kompany plays. If he plays, yes, I think they win. If he don't play, I think Newcastle get something out of the game. I know that sounds simplistic, but, you know, that's what tends to happen with them. You know, he's such a key player for them.
I mean, he's a massive player for him, isn't he?
Yeah, huge. I mean, just in every sense. You know, not only is he a great player, but, you know, he seems to have some sort of, like, you know, he seems to have some sort of spell over the rest of the players. So it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, and that's what I'd basically say. I think if he plays, 4-6 is a good price. I think if he doesn't, then I'd be looking at Newcastle, you know, on the handicap plus a goal. I wouldn't even put you off Newcastle to win. I agree wholeheartedly with what Lee says, that they're always one step away from disaster, Newcastle. But by the same token, they're just as likely to go and turn up and beat someone. I mean, you mentioned the opening day fixture about Newcastle. They've had some terrible luck over the past, I think it's 5 years. They've never played anyone outside the top five or six.
Yeah.
I think Tottenham's the easiest team they've played. They've played Man United twice, Arsenal. And actually, they've got some decent results against them, which is good for them. Interesting signings again from Newcastle. You mentioned it. You know, just go and find. They seem to find players, don't they? So, you know, I don't know. I mean, like I say, it's a bit kind of sitting on the fence. But I think company is that important. If he plays, I go for Man City. If he doesn't play, then I'd be going for Newcastle to either draw or win the game. So, you know, the plus one on the handicap.
Newcastle did do well early on last season. They actually lost 11 of their last 15 games in the league, but still managed to finish in the top half,
God knows
which was incredible. So both going with Man City, Kingpin on the proviso that Vincent Kompany starts in the centre of defence. The Monday night match should be good fun, the Monday night match. Maybe not for Burnley, though. Burnley 8-1 to win this game. The draw 16-5. Chelsea in the betting at 2-5. Kingpin Jose Mourinho seems to have found what he's been looking for with Diego Costa. Spaniards had a good pre-season, got a couple against Real Sociedad, and Jose Mourinho has come out in the press and openly lauded his centre forward, and he needs to win the league this season. He said he was going to win the league this season given a proper striker, and he's got one now.
Yeah, I think they probably will. I mean, they're the favourites, aren't they? And I see no reason why they shouldn't, all things being equal. Interesting starter, though, for them. It's Jose Mourinho versus the Ginger Mourinho, isn't it, of course? Burnley's the man in charge at Burnley, Sean Dyche, did brilliantly. Anyone who didn't follow Burnley's progression through the Championship last season, they play a pressing game, and that's their style of play. Very energetic, get the ball back as quickly as possible. They're not a particularly expansive team. They don't score loads of goals, but they only conceded 14 at Turf Moor last season, which is a brilliant record, of course. That's obviously going to be the way he's going to set this team up again. Why would you change style? You know, be very strong defensively, press the opposition, try and get the ball back, and then try and do some work. I'm not sure they've got the quality up front, really, to in the Premier League. I mean, you never know. I mean, Sam Vokes and Danny Ings were fantastic last season. Sam Vokes is out for the start of this campaign. He scored 20 last season. Danny Ings scored 21. So, I mean, you know, obviously very good players in the Championship, but it's a big jump up to the Premier League, as we well know. I can't see them outscoring Chelsea in this one, even if they do kind of park the bus, as Mourinho would say. But I do think they can get to half time, and I think Chelsea's class will eventually break them down. I think, I think half time draw, full time Chelsea would be something that I'd be looking at, or Chelsea win and under 2.5 goals. You know, a 1-0 or a 2-0, I could quite easily see. I've been kind of saying pre-season, I'm not sure if someone like Lukas Jukovic, who they've signed from Middlesbrough, is going to do all that, you know, good in the Premier League. I mean, he's had a great pre-season, to be fair. He's scored plenty of goals pre-season. It's just whether he can transform that in the big league against the stingiest defence in the Premier League last season. I'm not so sure. Half-time draw, full-time Chelsea for me.
16-5, half-time draw, full-time Chelsea. Jose Mourinho, Lee, has engineered wins on all five opening weekends when he's been manager at Chelsea. Let's call this a long weekend, with this game being played on Monday night. And Chelsea, historically, on the opening day, have been very good as well. They're unbeaten since 98-99 on the opening day of the season, winning 13 and drawing a couple. And they only conceded 10 goals in their last 23 matches in the Premier League. He does seem to have everything going for him here, Mourinho.
Yeah, I mean, with this game, Kingpin, sorry, said.
It will never catch on, don't worry.
Yeah, I can't really see a Chelsea 4-5-0 sort of performance. I think Burnley aren't going to disgrace themselves in the first half. I think it's going to be a good atmosphere there. Everyone's happy that they're back in the Premiership, but I can see Chelsea coming through, but I think it'll be like a 1-2-0 sort of win, like an efficient Mourinho performance. I can't see it being an absolute smashing sort of thing, but yeah, like the half-time draw, full-time Chelsea bet looks good to me. Or Chelsea to win and not concede also looks good to me as well.
I was looking at that. Chelsea to win to nil, 23-20 here. Chelsea to win to nil.
I'd be interested in that, because they're just so tight at the back, Mourinho's team, and with his strength and the defence as well. Like obviously, Cahill and Terry looked solid last year. They've got a ridiculous choice of two goalkeepers now as well. And then they've obviously got like Philippe Louis who's coming. I'm not sure if he'll play left back over Dave or Aspoleta or whatever they call him these days. But yeah, I think their defence is really solid. And for me, the thing with the Burnley team is they are hard working. They didn't concede many goals, but they lack some sort of quality. Like, where's the match winner in their team? Where's the guy who's going to step up and score the goals for them. I know they scored a lot of goals in the Championship, but they're strikers. I don't see them as like goal scorers at this level, to be honest.
And it's debatable whether they even go for a win.
Now let's move on to the 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday. Then the non-televised fixtures: Leicester versus Everton. First up, Leicester 21-10, the draw 21-10, Everton in the betting at 7-5. And Lee, there seems to be more positivity behind Leicester than any of the other promoted clubs this season. Do you expect them to have a good time of it in the Premier League, or have they been overrated?
No, I think like my team that I support is Sheffield Wednesday, so actually supported a Championship team, which is unfortunate for me. But yeah, they were really good last year. Leicester, obviously, I saw them a few times. Like, I saw them play against us at Hillsborough, and they're a good team. I don't think they'll do too bad, to be honest. I think they'll stay up. I really do think they'll stay up. They're a good side. I think with this game, they've been a bit fortunate with the fact that Everton have quite a few injuries, don't they, with this game. I know Lukaku's doubtful, Coleman's out. There's a few, like, I think Morales is out, so like he's not got his best 11 that he could possibly have with Everton. And I think my bet for this game would be probably over 2.5 goals, over 3.5 goals, something like that, because I'm not 100% convinced that Everton will win. But one thing with Martinez's teams is they score goals and they concede goals, and that's what we saw time and time again last season. Like the amount of 2-1 wins they had or 3-1 wins, they were seem to win but concede. So my bet for the game would be goals for sure.
Over 2.5 goals is 21-20. Over 3.5 goals in the betting at 11-4. There's a couple of stats here, Kingpin, that I absolutely love.
Hit me with them.
11 of the 16 Premier League games between Everton and Leicester have been drawn, 69%, making it the highest percentage of draws in Premier League history of any fixture that has been played more than 10 times.
Right.
That which is it's a convoluted stat, but I think it's a nice stat. Yeah. The draw in the betting here at 21-10. And the other one, it's been over 3 years since Romelu Lukaku scored a competitive goal for a club that owned him. That was August the 5th, 2011 for Anderlecht. So there are a couple
Brilliant.
Of stats that I like.
Yeah, that is good. I like that one.
That's a good stat,
absolutely
yeah.
pointless, but it's good fun, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think Leicester will be all right as well. It's interesting, like, you know, they've got a lot of money behind them. Next time you find yourself ambling through Bangkok Airport, DK, you'll see a
which is every other month.
You'll see a massive club shop, and it's not Man United, it's not Real Madrid, or it's Leicester City. You know, a huge club shop, and there's obviously money there. It's interesting that they haven't really splashed the cash. Now they're in the Premier League. I think the manager Nigel Pearson, everyone you speak to knows him, says he's a fantastic bloke and he's a great manager, etc., etc. I think he's trusting the players that they've got them there, and you know, giving them a chance. Brought Upson in, brought Leonardo Ulloa in from Brighton as well. Spent a bit of money there, to be fair. But you know, I think he knows what his team can do, and I think he's going to try and get through this season at least until January, and maybe if they need to spend money they can spend money. Ulloa scored 14 in 33 Championship games, so you know, another one of those players. It's a big step up. Obviously David Nugent, fans favourite there, he's not a Premier League player though. Scores 1 in 3 in the second tier of English football, but only 1 in 7 in the top flight in his career. So, yeah, I'm not so sure about that. With the injuries that Lee mentioned, you know, I think that counts against Everton, and I think both teams will be happy with a draw. I'd be looking at a 1-1 here, I think. You know, without the firepower up front.
Just
for
heard
Everton.
That stat, haven't you? And thought I'm going with a draw.
I hadn't heard that stat, but that just adds weight to my fantastic argument, I think.
21-10, the draw, Leicester versus Everton. Leicester 21-10 as well, and Everton in the betting at 7-5. Let's have a look at QPR versus Hull. QPR 6-4, the draw 21-10, and Hull in the betting at 2-1. It's interesting, isn't it? The more competitive fixtures from a betting perspective are the least likely to be on the radar for the casual football viewer this weekend. And this is another one, 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday, QPR versus Hull. Kingpin, QPR actually underachieved last season, just finishing fourth in the Championship, but then went up via the playoffs. They've managed to get rid of a lot of the mercenaries this year, and they brought in Rio Ferdinand to add a little bit of experience, Premier League experience and know-how. And amazingly, Ferdinand's not committed a foul in 26 Premier League games, a run stretching back to New Year's Day 2013. That one's from Nigel Seeley in The Sun. You see, I credit people when I'm stealing things on Twitter. Kingpin.
Yeah.
This is terrible. This is unbelievable. I happened to... Let's clear this up, shall we? I happened to tweet a picture this week, Lee, and anyone else who's listening, of the bag that looks like Phil Jones, right? I'd never seen the picture before. Yeah. Saw it online. You know, I couldn't credit someone on Twitter, so I tweeted it. I said, this is great, a bag that looks like Phil Jones. Innocently, it happened to go mental and get like 1,500 retweets. Now he's castigating me for stealing it and not crediting it.
What he always does, Lee, which if you follow him, you'll know, he likes stealing other people's intellectual property.
Ah, this is terrible.
That's what that's where he's good at bowling.
My lawyers are sharpening their pencils right now.
So he stole this tweet. By the way, I know that your account, Lee, Footy Accumes, has got 120,000 followers, something like that.
That's decent.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that's quite a lot.
Lee wants to know how he can manage. Can he have some of those followers?
Can I steal some of your? No, not steal. Can I steal some of your great tweets without crediting you?
Yeah, everyone steals everything off everyone on Twitter. That's the bad thing.
That's a terrible thing. I didn't steal. Can I just clear up again? I did not steal the tweets. Okay. I saw the picture. Tweeted the picture. I'll happily credit anyone.
As far as this game is concerned, Kingpin. Yes. It's likely that experience is going to be key for QPR this season. They've got Rio Ferdinand in at the back.
Yeah.
Joey Barton probably going to play a pivotal role in the centre of midfield. And even though Charlie Austin hasn't got Premier League experience, he's got a lot of Football League experience.
Yes, indeed, yeah. I think he'll form part of a bit more of an outlandish bet for me as well. I think QPR will win this. Pre-season... Harry Redknapp's been using a 3-5-2 and a 3-4-1-2. I think he'll look at the more attacking kind of lineup against Hull. You know, you've got to start the season, you know, as you mean to go on. I think it's a bit unfair that the price up at 2-1 to go down QPR, same price as Palace. I think they'll do okay. This is a manager who, let's not forget, was being touted as the next England manager and all the rest of it. If he's that good, then I think we'll start to see that as well. Obviously, they've brought in a very experienced kind of number two, if you like, in Glenn Hoddle as well. Quality, you know, in the team, experience in the team, as you've said. Look, you know, Remy's still there. You know, he's not gone anywhere, Remy. He's still got, you know, a good striker in him as well. As for Hull, we've seen them already against Trentson in the Europa League. Got a 0-0 draw away from home. Bit unlucky not to win that. Then they won the home leg to keep that Europa League run going. I don't think they'll go out for a win. I think they'll do what they did against Trentson, set up for a draw. And I think they'll try and get that draw. Wasn't impressed by Hull. Some people were last season, but I thought they slipped away alarmingly towards the end of the season. 2 wins and 1 draw in the last 10 Premier League games last season. Only won 3 wins away from home. Only had 3 wins away from home, should I say. And 3 draws as well. You know, you don't go from a record of 3 wins and 3 draws then trying to win every game. They'll set up for a draw. They won't get it. I think QPR beat them 1-0. Just lost Shane Long as well, of course. So, you know, less firepower up front.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for QPR win and under 2.5 goals as a steady bet, if you like. But I do like Charlie Austin to score in a QPR 1-0 win at 22-1.
And Charlie Austin to score and QPR just to win is one of two headline offers on this match. That's in the betting at 4-1. And Nikita Jelovic to score and Hull to win is in the betting at 6-1. Lee, Charlie Austin is pivotal, or was last season, to QPR. They won 62% of their matches with Charlie Austin in the side. Only 27% of the matches in which the forward didn't play. So Austin is absolutely crucial to QPR, or he was last season anyway.
Yeah, he was a good, like, he was massive for them this season. Like, they used to seem to win every game 1-0 with Charlie Austin goal last season, from my memory. Like, I really do fancy QPR to win this game. The only thing that is at the back of my head is the last time I bet on QPR on the open day season, they got absolutely spanked 5-0 by Swansea. So it literally, they were 3-0 down after about 10 minutes and that ruined all my accumulate bets on that day. So that's kind of at the back of my head. With Hull, like, obviously, I think the Shane Long sale surprised me a little bit. I mean, he's only played about 14 games or something. They signed him in January, didn't they? But
I think when you can get £12 million for Shane Long,
you
just bite someone's hand off as quickly as physically possible, really.
Yeah,
and they've got Yannick Sagbo, who's actually out. He's banned for 2 games because he broke the FA rules by doing a Twitter post. So he probably stole someone's picture as well.
I'm expecting a ban next week.
Yeah. So yeah, with QPR, I think they made some good signs. Obviously, you mentioned Rio Ferdinand. I think Stephen Colker's a big signing as well. Good defender. And also Jordan Mutch was good last year for Cardiff.
Scored a few goals, didn't he, actually? Yeah.
Yeah, he scored a lot of goals from midfield, and I think he can chip in with a fair few goals. And yeah, I fancy QPR to win this game.
QPR 6-4, the draw 21-10, Hull 2-1. On to Stoke versus Aston Villa, which is also a 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. Stoke 19-20, the draw in the betting at 11-5, and Aston Villa 16-5. Lee, I strongly believe Aston Villa are going to struggle this season. It's probably not an ideal start having to go to the Britannia as well, where Stoke are so strong, or historically have been so strong in the Premier League in the past.
Yeah, I think Villa are going to struggle as well. I'd tip them to get relegated this season. I think they're going to go down. I think Lambert and Keane, you're just waiting for something to happen with Roy Keane and one of the players or something. So, do you know what I mean? But a lot of the pre-match stuff around Stoke's been around Bojan, obviously. He had a really good pre-season, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So everyone's been talking about Bojan. So, I think Stoke are going to win this game pretty comfortably, actually. And I think Stoke to win, Bojan to score is my bet for this game. I don't know if that's your match special for this one or if there's a price on that, but I really fancy that one for this game, definitely.
Yeah, Bojan to score and Stoke to win's one of the two headline offers here. 4-1, which looks nice. A good price on Bojan to score.
That was a great bet.
And Stoke to win at 4-1. The other side of the headline offer, Gabby Agbonlahor to score and Aston Villa to win at 8-1. Kingpin, as mentioned, Stoke were excellent defensively at home last season. They conceded just 17 goals at home. They picked up 7 clean sheets at the Britannia. They've got nothing to fear with Villa making the trip first game of the season.
No, I said last week I like them on the handicap. I think they might be the team that kind of surprised people, if you like. I like the signings. You know, Bojan coming in, as we've said. Mamadou Diouf as well coming in. A couple of, you know, solid citizens in Phil Bardsley and Steve Sidwell coming in, you know, just to shore up the defensive side of things. Yeah, I like them, you know, and I think they'll beat Villa. I agree with you two. No need to go in any more on what I think will happen to Aston Villa this season. The signings just haven't been good enough. Finished 15th, 15th and 16th in the last three Premier League seasons. On the game, I think Stoke will win, and I think they'll win well. Stoke and over 2.5 goals for me. I think they could beat him 3-0. I think Stoke could really start the season well here. You know, they changed that style of play over the course of, you know, Mark Hughes being there. Players obviously wanted a change of style. He's managed to facilitate that, and I think they'll go into this really well. The Stoke and over 2.5 gives you the chance that Villa do score.
Yeah.
You know, they've still got good players in there, still got Vyman in there, still got other good players around. So it gives you the chance, but I wouldn't be surprised if Stoke get 3 goals here. I know it sounds a bit un-Stoke-like, but I'm confident with Stoke this year.
Stoke to win and over 2.5 goals in the betting at 11-5 here with William Hill. Next up, West Brom versus Sunderland. West Brom in the betting at 13-10. The draw is 21-10 and Sunderland in the market at 23-10. Last season, Kingpin, Sunderland became only the second team to be bottom at Christmas Day and avoid relegation. Can you name the other one?
West Brom.
Yes. 2004-2005. you must have read that somewhere.
I just thought because they're playing each other, it might be West Brom.
Was that's it Brian reason. Robson was the manager? Is that right?
Yes, it was indeed, Brian
Robson, wasn't it?
Between us, we're brilliant.
Gus Poyet said that he needed a miracle last season, Lee, and he got one.
Yeah, he did indeed, didn't he? Yeah.
Connor Wickham, that's what kept it off.
Yeah, it was, yeah. And, you know, now that, you know, there's talk of him not being there for much longer. West Brom, first of all, not too enamoured with their signings. You know, you wonder where they're going to go. The managerial signing raised a lot of eyebrows as well. You know, I think they'll be down there amongst the strugglers yet again. Can't say that they've strengthened enough to change the fortunes too much. You know, they tend to involve goals, though, their games, don't they? In terms of Sunderland themselves, you know, again, you know, they brought Jordi Gomez in, Patrick Van Aanholt, Will Buckley, they've signed from Brighton. I mean, is this really what you need? Jack Rodwell's a quality player, obviously, we know. Draw?
Maybe,
because I can't really pick a winner, to be honest with you. I mean, it's a tough one. It's one that you wouldn't really open your curtains for on the opening day, if it's in the backyard, wouldn't you? So I'm just going to go draw at 21-10, and maybe one that if I left any alone, I'd leave this one alone.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be backing West Brom at 13-10 here. I don't know what you think, Lee, but
Yeah,
Alan,
I agree.
Irvine as a replacement for Pepe Mel?
Oh, I just don't know where that appointment's come from, really. He used to manage Sheffield Wednesday and he didn't do much when he was our manager, to be honest. I think everyone was a bit surprised when... I think everyone like thought he disappeared off the face of the earth until they announced that he was their manager, and then everyone was like...
There he is.
Completely forgot that he was even managing. But yeah, I think this game does look a bit dull to me. There's not much firepower for both teams. I know Sunderland are trying their best to get Fabio Barini back in, aren't they? And that fell through.
Yeah.
So I think they're lacking a bit of firepower. I think Jack Rodwell on paper looks a good signing, but is he really match fit? How many games did he play last year? Like hardly any, so he's not played much football. And I think Irvine's bought, is it Brown Adai?
Yeah.
So he's got a lot of pressure on his shoulders to start firing. But it looks like a draw to me. I'd maybe even go 0-0. Definitely underneath 2.5 goals, put it that way.
Yeah, under 2.5 goals is 13-20. Under half a goal is in the betting at 8-1. 13-20, one of the shortest prices on the weekend coupon for under 2.5 goals in that one. And we finish off with West Ham versus Tottenham at 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. West Ham 11-4, the draw 23-10. Tottenham in the betting at 21-20. I'm concerned for West Ham here, Lee, because my dad's a big West Ham fan, big in inverted commas. He's going to the match. I don't think he's going to the match. Jeez. On Saturday. I don't think he's ever seen them win. He's probably been about 20 Brilliant. Times. I don't think he's ever seen them win. We once went to Pride Park when I was younger as well. And it was a game I think they won in the end, but we didn't get in. We went to Pride Park without tickets, thought, oh, well, it's Derby.
Yeah.
We'll get into Derby. Yeah. And ended up coming back with a calculator and a ruler, which we tried bargaining with for a ticket. But we didn't get into that match. But he's wanted rid of Sam Allardyce for a long time now, and it seems
I think they all have, haven't they?
They all have, yeah.
Yeah, which is strange because he does seem to be able to keep teams up every year. He's a bit like a pugilist, but West Ham want attractive football. They want to be entertained, don't they? So I think that's the problem the fans have with him. I think regardless of what happens tomorrow, West Ham versus Spurs is a massive fixture in the Premier League, and it's going to be an exciting game to be at. I mean, what's surprising for me is West Ham actually beat Spurs 3 times last season.
Yeah, no,
so
amazing.
Like, although they might not have had the best season, they beat Spurs 3 times, which is pretty good. But they've not got Andy Carroll again. They've bought that Enner Valencia, is it? He played Hondo, who was really good in the World Cup, but I don't think he's going to be ready to play either.
So I don't know where Carlton Cole's going to be up front, isn't he, again?
Well, they've been trying to buy Conor Wickham, haven't they?
They've been trying to get him.
It's not, is it? It just doesn't fill you with confidence, does it?
Yeah, so I think Allardyce will just go with the textbook from back to front sort of thing and try and get a goal for a set piece or something like that. But it doesn't. I'm really struggling to see where the goals are going to come from for West Ham tomorrow.
What are you going for then, Healy?
I think Spurs will win. I do. I think Spurs will win. I think West Ham beat them 3 times last year, but Spurs, I think they obviously made massive headlines spending all the bail money on all these players who didn't really perform, like Lamellas, and I think like the only player you could say who really fulfilled his worth was probably Christian Eriksen, really. But if these players like Lamella and that start to show some of their ability this year, I think they're going to do all right this year, Spurs. It's going to be difficult for them to get into top four with obviously so much competition with United and Liverpool now probably going for that top four place, I think a lot of people would agree with. But Spurs, I can't see them coming top four, but I do think they'll win. I do think they'll win tomorrow. I think they'll win tonight. I think it'll be Spurs win. I just can't see West Ham scoring.
21-20, Spurs to win the game, and... Spurs to win to nil, 9-4 here with William Hill as well. We spoke, Kingpin, about this last week, and you fancied those Spurs players that had faltered last season on the back of that huge burden to try and replace Gareth Bale. You expect them to have maybe better seasons this time around.
Yeah, I mean, we do see time and time again, don't we? You know, foreign players coming in and maybe not being able to adjust the first season, and they do well the second season, and there's lots of them. You know, that's Paulinho. You know, you've got the likes of Lamella, of course, Soldado as well, and others. There's plenty of players there. You know, there's lots of great players there. You know, in the Spurs lineup, you know, Moussa Dembélé, Lewis Holtby,
lots of good players.
Yeah,
lots of good players.
Good players.
I mean, they've come in and tried to replace a great player, and it's not worked out yet.
But I think, you know, if you get three of those, you start to, you know, pick it up a little bit and start to, you know, produce some more form. Obviously, new manager as well, Pochettino, waiting to see how he fares. I think they'll do okay this season. You know, I a couple of weeks ago, I was quite keen on West Ham in this one because of that head-to-head record and because, you know, the home crowd and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, without any Valencia and, you know, the couple of injuries that have happened in the meantime, Mauro Zarate is probably going to be up front on his own. Scored 20 and 35 in Argentina last season. But, you know, you've got to translate that. And again, who knows if he's going to hit the ground running here in this match. He's been setting up with a very defensive lineup pre-season. He had a 3-5-2 in the last friendly they played, Sam Allardyce. May even set up with, you know, 4-5-1 in this one. I know it's at home, but he's not afraid to go defensive at home to get a result, is he?
That's the way to endear the West Ham fans, isn't it?
But I think he's trying to change it. I think he's brought in Enner Valencia. He's looking for a bit more pace up front. I'm going to go for the draw in this one. I understand why you would go for Tottenham, but Tottenham let me down so many times with bets that I'm going to go for the draw. I can't see West Ham having the goals to win it, but I think they'll set up so defensively, and, you know, he's so well organised as a manager that I think they'll manage to get a draw out of it at 23-10.
Needs a good start to the season, Allardyce. 23-10 the draw. West Ham, even though they finished 13th in the league last season, only picked up 40 points, lost 8 of 11 games from March onwards as well, so he needs a big start to the season, Allardyce, not just for West Ham but for his personal security as well. West Ham 11-4, the draw 23-10, and Tottenham 21-20. What about the best bets this weekend then, Kingpin? Have you got a nap for this weekend? What would your best bet be?
Yeah, I'd look at... I like this before the Pulis thing happened, so it's only made me more confident. I'll go, because it's the first week, I'll go steady. I'll go Arsenal -1. I know it's a touch of odds on, but I'm just going to take it steady. I wouldn't put anyone off the -2 at 9-4, but Arsenal -1 goal at 4-5 is the way I'd play it. Like I say, if that's a bit boring for you, then take the 9-4. But just to be safe and just to get some, hopefully get some money on the board, I'll go 4-5. Obviously, I'm going to be taking on a different guest every week, aren't I?
You are.
Are you going to do one as well?
I am going to do one.
Oh, wow. Damn me. Right, okay. Well, that's not as much pressure on me then from the start. What's yours?
I've got mine sorted. Mine is...
Is it short price, these naps? They've got to be around even.
Whatever you want.
Anything you want.
You can go absolutely crazy if you want.
Ron Atkinson went 2-0 most weeks, didn't he, last
season? Or 100-1. Yeah.
I'm going with an odds against price. I don't think it should be odds against. That's why I'm going for it this week. Both teams to score, Manchester United versus Swansea, 21-20 is my bet here. Lee referenced this earlier. I think they're very, very poor at the back at the moment. They're looking to make a late signing. They've got Phil Jones and Chris Smalling, inexperienced, often caught out of position at the back. Last season, Wayne Routledge caused them tremendous problems in one of the two fixtures last year. They conceded in 13 of 19 home Premier League games, and they've not last season, and they've not strengthened. So I think both teams score in that game at 21-20. Lee?
Marvin's got to be Liverpool to win in half time, full time. I think they're going to come out and obliterate Southampton in the first 20 minutes, and then I think they'll win that game. I'm not sure what price that is. I think we mentioned it earlier, didn't we?
Yeah, Liverpool half time, full time, 4-5.
That's my one.
Same price as Lee's bet as well. Thank you, Lee. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. And just a quick plug for your website, Lee.
Our website is www.footyaccumulators.com. And we've also got the Acca Tracker app out on iOS and Android. So yeah, that's who we are. Like, thanks for inviting me on the show.
It's been very good. It's good to have someone with a bit of knowledge on.
It is for once.
that treble, by the way, 6.64-1.
Okay, that's nice. So hopefully we'll get the naps landing this week. Thank you again, Lee, for your contribution to the Pump Podcast, and we'll catch up soon.
Okay, cheers, guys. Bye bye.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you, sir. And thanks, of course, to you, Kingpin. We need a new nickname, though. So at D. Kellner or at Lee Phelps to give us a new nickname if this ever occurs again when there's two Lees on the podcast.
Well, I think we can go back to Lee next week, can't we?
I very much hope so. Make sure you get all your bets on for this weekend's football. First game, Manchester United versus Swansea, 12:45 p.m. kickoff. Don't forget, subscribe to William Hill's Audio Boo page. Just search William Hill Football, and you can find us on the William Hill website as well, williamhill.com/podcast. And we'll be back next week. Speak soon, folks.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.